mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth.
The other big story that we continue to monitor is, of course, what is going to happen with Jair Alexander and the Green Bay Packers. Over the weekend, Josina Anderson put out some information. Ugh. I'm just going to read the tweet. I'm told there is already an understanding in place between the Packers and Jair Alexander to come to an agreement on his roster and contract situation first prior to an arrival for the team's offseason program per league source. Alexander is not in attendance for Packers in-season workouts, in-person workouts rather. He reportedly participated in remote sessions. The Packers have had exploratory trade talks with other clubs involving Alexander. Releasing him is also an option. I've spoken to at least two teams monitoring the status for quite some time. What did I just read, Gabe Neitzel?
Oh, you just read news that's not really news. That's just masquerading as news.
Fair.
Yeah, that's all that is. I mean, is there any new information there that we guess we didn't really know? Like, clearly the heart of the conversation is around his contract. The reason why he didn't get traded is because he didn't want to talk to other teams about what his contract could potentially be. He would have preferred if he was just released, and then that way, you know, he could negotiate his own contract. Well, now the Packers, they don't want to pay him that. If he wants to come back, have some sort of, you know, incentive-based contract, however they want to do it. So clearly his contract is still a big part, and the big hurdle has to be cleared for him to come back to Green Bay. So I think this was all things that were known, but maybe just put into one more concise tweet.
But I don't know. I mean, with the bonus and stuff like that, and he's under contract, they can't tell him you can't come to the facility. He has
Correct.
A contract.
Seems like he might be dictating that, right, Chu?
Yeah, my guess is, and we all know when it comes to these situations, Packers lowball. They don't trust him. They don't trust him, number one, but that the if they do get it done, it'll tell you how much they trust him.
Actually, because I disagree.
If it's $10 million with incentives, they'll be like, all right, if it's $6 million, they don't trust him at all.
I don't think they trust him across the board. I don't think they do. I think there will always be in the back of their mind the possibility of him going rogue or the possibility of him being a malcontent and then affecting the rest of the defensive backs and maybe the defense as a whole. I think that they are concerned that that is a reality or at least a potential reality. But, Chu, I actually think this situation hinges almost entirely on their ongoing evaluation of the cornerback situation. I think they don't really know what they have in Hobbs. I think they don't really know what they have behind him. I think that they are concerned that it is going to be a steep fall off. I think that they think that even 80%, 75%, hell, 60% of a Jair Alexander occasionally might be exactly what they need in order to still have a competitive cornerback room.
But
am I wrong in that thinking? Am I wrong in thinking that this hinges on the situation?
But they're trying to get someone to reach him. I mean, McKinney's working out with him. Is Jordan? Someone else is working out with him.
No, so Jordan said good things about him in an interview recently.
Okay. Well, McKinney, the leader of the defense now, is trying to. And I don't know if it came from a position coach saying, can you try to reach this guy and dig deep and see what this guy's all about? Does he want to be here? You know, things like that. I don't know if the player would just do that without being told, let's say, by his position coach. Can you work with him? Can you find out what makes him tick so we can make a decision on this guy? Because when he's good, he's good. When he plays, he's good.
I also just leave the door open because at that point, I didn't think there was any chance that Jair was coming back. They just might like each other. They just might be boys. McKinney and Jair live in the same area, so they do a couple workouts together. It's kind of what the – I know you don't like workout buddies, and
no.
You guys had a lot more off-season workouts back in your day, Chu, but with the lack of team, you know, actual organized team practices throughout the course of the off-season, this is the way a lot of guys do it. They have workout buddies that they live in the same area as, and they get together and do their workouts.
Is this just going to be a stalemate? And I mean that on several levels. Is it going to be a stalemate between the Packers and Jair, which eventually will have to be resolved? Is it a stalemate between these teams who are, quote unquote, monitoring the status? Like, it is what it is at this point. I don't know that anything is going to change between now and June 1st, unless Alexander says, you know what? You're right. I will take less money to be a member of the Green Bay Packers because I still think that we have a chance to do something really cool, maybe even win the NFC, maybe win the whole dang thing. Like, is what is going to push this sucker to conclusion, Gabe?
Goody coming to the realization he's not going to actually get anything for, like, because there's still a part of me. It's not a large part, but there's still a part of me that think Goody is just kind of trying to keep carrying out the ruse. Oh, hey, we'll re-sign him. If you guys don't come trade for him, we'll re-sign him. We'll come up with some sort of contract that works for us, so you better come trade for him. Better give me a conditional seventh-round pick or a conditional sixth-round pick right now. Otherwise, we're going to do this because it just felt like...
It's past that, though. It's past that, Gabe.
I mean, I'm trying to make it make sense, Chu, because I don't think the coaching staff trusts him. Like, what would have to change between the end of the season and today, your holiday? Your favorite day, the 5th mm-hmm. of May. What would have to change for Matt LaFleur to go, yeah, I'm good with this guy, after visibly showing his frustration in the back half of the season anytime Jair Alexander's name was brought up? Like, clearly the head coach does not trust the player, so I don't understand what we're doing here. Like, that's the main thing that would have to be, like, fixed.
It's what his base salary would be. Because then if he pulls his Jair stuff and his base salary is $4 million, they go, eh, at least we kind of CYA'd ourselves a little bit here, you know? I don't know. To me, it doesn't even sound like the number's out there. Because no. I would guess Goody would say, all right, $5 million, to which Jair would say, go pound sand. Because he's mm-hmm. still...
Oh, he would get that somewhere else easily. Like, more than that.
So is the play here, Gabe, in your opinion, just to wait it out until after June 1st to release Alexander so that you at least get some cap savings in 2025?
But that doesn't do you any good. Like, what are you going to do with the extra cap savings? Like, you already, the cap's in a healthy spot right now. Like, why not just eat it all now and not have to worry about eating any of that salary cap in 2026? That's the thing that also doesn't make sense. I don't think they're waiting for June 1st because... And unless they're going to be handing out a monster extension with a bunch of front-loaded money to a guy like Zach Tom, which they could still do even if they released Jair Alexander tomorrow, I just don't know what the actual benefit of getting that money now would be.
If you're the Green Bay Packers, too, and you assume that Jair is going to find a landing spot, which, again, I don't know that there's a guarantee there, but I assume somebody would take a flyer on him if he was released. Is there any part of you that's being petty? Is there any part of you that is strategically going, well, we're going to hold on to you so you can't be a part of their off-season program?
Absolutely. Because you know where he's going. You know where he's going. If he gets cut, he's going to steer himself to Detroit or Minnesota. I mean, look at how many players go to Minnesota after Green Bay's done with them. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of it's for spite. So, yeah, of course. They don't want them going through their off-season program, and that's why they may be waiting till after June 1. Hell, they might even wait till training camp. Right? There's no hit against the cap.
Do you want to operate like that and give yourself the reputation of a team that does that to players, to other players across the league?
They don't care. But where Jair could force their hand, show up to the off-season program and be disruptive to get his $700,000. Has the off-season program even started yet?
I mean, it's May. They've got some light voluntary stuff.
God, is this league marshmallowy? I mean, that's part of my grindiness. I took 2 weeks after the end of the season and do what I do. I grind.
Yeah, you used to grind. I agree.
Maybe used to be a big time. To be perfectly honest with you guys, maybe we should have gotten Chewy's definition of grind before we started giving him grief about using the word grind. It's possible that whatever his definition of grind is, he's actually doing. It's just that it doesn't align with our definition of grind.
Here, let's test it. Because I got a feeling it changes. And fits whatever he thinks is grinding.
No, because you guys don't know how to grind. Gabe, I guarantee you do nothing around the house. You don't paint. You don't have a screwdriver. You don't have a workbench. Your lawnmower's laughable. Joshy, kind of the same way. You wait for the neighbors to have a fire, and then you're, oh, look at the hero. I'm a hero.
Wait. Where is the mulch? Neighbors to have a fire?
Where's the mulching? Where's the sharpening of? Where's the weed whacker? Where is if you have oil that you have to mix with gas, okay, and keep in a container, you're a grinder.
Chewy, we just talked about how I single-handedly built a fence. I digged the holes with a postal shovel. Like, I did all of that.
That's not that hard, though. I mean, I had to clean crab traps here.
But
last
mixing
week.
Oil with gas?
Oh, yeah.
I'm a hunter. This is what I do.
That's traps. More gathering, just so you know.
Yes.
It's true.
Yeah, yeah. Poor Chewy had to eat crab last week. Oh, man, really grinding away. So hard.
Somebody's got to do it. That's the way
now this,
said it.
Here's conversation, a question. Well, this is going to activate your own little text chain here where I'm not involved.
No, Chewy, you pretending that going and getting your crab traps last week is grinding would be me pretending that playing at Erin. I mean, it's a long walk. Erin Hills this afternoon, Chewy, it's like 7-8 mile walk. A lot of uphill, a lot of downhill all
time
over
out.
The place.
Give
it's grinding. It's
time
grinding.
Out. Are you playing for free?
Yeah.
There you go.
Of course.
Free, it's this me. Joshy makes this- 1,000. Jen probably got a new Tahoe. And I grind. I got to put all this stuff away here and then come back and spread 10 yards of mulch.
10 yards. Soft. Chewy, who does
20 yards easy?
Whose boat do you use to put the crab pots in?
The guy who was shark bait a couple of years ago.
Who gets the bait for those?
That doesn't matter. I pay for it sometimes.
Sometimes.
It sounds like... Now, if I were to be accusatory, you just sort of go for a ride and let old partner do most of the work.
Yeah, because if you take my boat, then you got to clean it.
Brandon in the 920
says. A grinder would
says,
be proud to clean
yeah,
his boat.
Uh-huh.
That's true. Chewy has grinder arrogance.
Does.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right, hold on. Let me add it.
We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Still a lot of stuff to get to this morning. Stick around.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So remember he said his birthday?
Yeah.
Maybe we get a little freaky.
Yeah. And everyone's like, oh, look at our horny little boy. We're so good for him. Like, everybody's so supportive of Giannis, they just kind of look past it.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Need a new vehicle? Check out Ewald Automotive Group's Spring Into a New Ride sales event. Over 1,500 new and used vehicles, low price guarantee on new vehicles as well. Shop their certified best used cars starting at under $9,995. That's right, under $9,995. Financing for everyone. No payments till summer with approved credit. Now is the time to upgrade. With Ewald, it is always friendly people who treat you right. Quick story on that. I was just at Ewald last week talking with my guy, Matt. Lease is going to be coming up on my Jeep. And it's probably best for me to just buy out my lease. Probably not the best thing for Matt, but he knows that what's the best thing for me, and he wants to make sure I get treated right. Great selection as well at Ewald. Low, low prices, 10 locations. It all starts at ewaldauto.com.
Brewers got a big win yesterday over the Cubs. Series didn't go exactly as we wanted to, but still a long season. Looks like the Cubs are a team that the Brewers need to worry about this season. So hopefully, as the year goes on, they will be able to keep that close, maybe even overtake them in the standings. Another thing happened this weekend, Saturday evening in Madison. Apparently, allegedly, supposedly, this show won best morning show at the WBAs? Is that correct? Did I hear that correctly?
Why do you sound so shocked?
Because I'm here every day, Joshy.
You guys kind of choked. That was kind of... I mean, Jen, what? You get a pass because you went a couple years ago, but kind of a douchey move.
What's that? Kinda.
I mean, you get an award like that and no one shows up.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Why didn't you fly up for it?
Yeah.
I had a thing to do.
Oh, sure.
On Saturday night.
What was the thing?
It's, not Cinco de Mayo.
No, because that was the third. I'll let you know when I get back.
Oh, yeah. Big secret, huh?
Hold on. Is it kind of little bit?
Little bit what?
Douchey? Someone should have been there.
I mean, maybe, but we didn't think
Jen,
we were
I'm not blaming
win.
You, but the other two
working.
On the pecking order could have made Will go, for crying out loud, who's
good point.
Part we of this show.
It's a good point. We could have made Will go.
Right?
I mean, I think it's actually quite nice. We didn't think we were going to win. We were like, you know, some other show, somebody else will get it. And, I was pleasantly surprised, but also, you know, also shocked. I was also shocked.
I look at it. It's like the emoji thing. I look at it a different way. I think you guys just kind of big time the whole event, because that's what people are saying on Twitter right now.
You don't even, you didn't even know what was going on.
You don't
didn't.
Even
Dario's
know how
the one that
on
texted
Twitter.
Me, and I'm like, Dario texted me, and I said, oh, that's a shame. Jen's going to have to go pick up the award again, because I thought they'd tell us and then have the banquet. Well, obviously, that's not how it works. So I was a little disappointed in. Not you, Jen. Like I said, you went years ago. But the other, what were you doing on Saturday night, Gabe? What the hell were
working.
You doing?
Working.
Doing what?
I was on the radio.
All right, I'll give you a pass.
This is not going the way you wanted it.
Where was Josh?
I
was
the
thirsty nickel
I'm
choking him down.
The grind rankings that you have, but you know, I was working on Saturday, Chew, and you can't even tell us what you were doing. You're so anti-grind.
I was doing literally
I was at a derby
else.
Party that was very...
Oh, a little high in my... Oh,
wait a minute. How do you not know it's Cinco de Mayo if this if Cinco de Mayo and the derby are always aligned?
He's a Cinco fraud.
Yeah, I'm a Cinco fraud, but Angie loves the derby. Angie loves the derby. And I actually got sent home. I got sent home.
Did we lose Gabe? When he said I'm a Cinco fraud.
Yeah.
The way he waved the white flag so quickly, like no
well,
fight back
true.
In Josh whatsoever. Just yeah, no, I am a Cinco fraud. You guys got me.
It is true.
So is it bad that none of us were there and that Jesse Nelson had to grab our award for us?
It looks perfect.
But didn't
Jesse
he lose
Nelson.
The award?
Wait, what?
He does not know of it, where it is right now.
Can you pull this and just say it was kind of bush league that
Wait,
the three of you didn't
we're
show
gonna,
up?
The three of us.
No,
exactly.
No, you're getting lumped into
yeah,
that, pal.
Yeah, 100%.
Mr. I had to go to a pinky up little Kentucky Derby party.
Yeah.
There were no flights out of here.
Yeah, again, we know your bank account. You could have privated, okay? You could have got a PJ and gotten up here if it was all that important to you.
What?
Whoa, well, whoa, I had the whoa, honest whoa. Mistake of like,
how,
I thought they'd
how
tell
long
us.
How would you be grounded if you took money and spent it on a PJ to come back to Wisconsin? What
the
kind of grounding
how,
would it, your wife
that,
Angie
that's
give
not
you?
The question. The question is, how would I bury it without getting caught?
I think she might bury you. I think that's the problem. Yeah.
This 15 grand. It's tough to wrap that into shoes, buddy. It's tough to say, I picked up some.
So her meltdown last night, you want to hear this? Another waiter story. Actually, it was a waitress.
Oh, this is where you got the signal. Get in
yes.
here.
So it's kind of a little touristy place. It's downtown St. Pete because Gianna's got her college roommate in, and we're trying to show them all the spots. So we go to this one place. And we had to go to the bar, which was on the third floor, before we got to the restaurant. And it said, gratuity already included, 20%. Which I
Whoa.
Yes, which I found that is weird. So, oh my God.
Across all tickets? Across all bills?
All bills. I'm
yeah, because
like,
a lot of times you'll
good.
Do that for what? Like parties of six or eight or more sometimes? Like the gratuity
is four of us,
okay.
That wasn't.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm saying
so
that's
we go
odd.
In. So I'm like, this is not going to be good because she is not, and she didn't know this, because she doesn't like people being given the tip without working for it. So she starts out kind of, and I told her, I'm like, they already charged 20%. She's like, oh, great. So the girl, it was like 8:30, last table, and the girl clearly wanted to go home. So she kept coming by the table every minute until Angie just blew up because she was... still eating her meal. And just the girl came back, and Angie goes, here, here's my meal. I know you just want to go home. Here, I'm done. Here, go. Which was a little aggressive, but true.
Well, did the waitress say anything?
No, but it was clear that she got her 20% and wanted to go home because she kept coming back to the table. Put it this way, she bought the dessert menu when we were in the middle of eating.
Well, was she doing a drive-by? Was she actually stopping?
No, she was everything you need, Nathan.
Okay.
You kind of felt rushed.
When did the restaurant close? How many people were in the restaurant besides you guys?
I would say there was probably 30 tables. There were probably 8 tables left. Is that fair?
So here's what I will throw out there. We had lunch yesterday at a restaurant. We like, good, fine. But they didn't come around enough to. So what's worse? The pressure at the end of the meal where clearly the waiter wants to get off the clock, clearly the waiter wants to go out and enjoy their evening, so they're coming by and they're coming by and they're coming by to try to get you to pay the bill, or not coming by enough so your iced tea is sitting empty and the queso is on the table, but it's that plate's been empty for, you know, 25 minutes and the kids don't have their ketchup for their chicken nuggets because you haven't come back around to check and see how the meal is going.
I would take the rushed. Because you can kind of control that. The other one you can't control. So, she was in the right, though. But it kind of crushed the girl.
You got to say that, don't you?
She's in the right.
I just can't believe the 20% thing, gang. Yeah. I can't believe that. Again, Gabe, you mentioned
it. I feel like I've been starting to see that more and more.
Everywhere? No matter how many people. One person, 20%. Like that. What is the incentive to offer good service?
That was the problem. You know, she already got the money in the pocket. So put it this way, we'll never go back there. Never go back.
Here's a question I have for you guys. How often are you running into service you would deem as below 20%? Because I got to say, it's almost never for me.
Really? I would almost say it's almost
never?
Always.
Almost never.
Almost always.
And maybe I'm just easier to please. Maybe I'm going to different places. Gabe, where are you at? Are you encountering?
Yeah, I mean, but again, I mean, so at this point, I'm trying to think of when my wife and I actually go somewhere and sit down. It's not very often. There's a little place around the corner from our house that we like to go. We'll sit at the bar. Bartenders there are great. And yeah, that's always like an auto 20% for me. I can't remember the last time I felt like I had very bad service, but at the same time, I'm not going out all that often. A lot of times if we order food, it's pickup to take it home.
But so that's the distinction, Gabe. Very bad service is not the same as just average, right? Like exceptional. That, like, I can't think of the last time I went out and had exceptional service where I was like, oh my goodness, like that was wonderful. That server really helped with the whole night, helped create a whole thing. You know, like, again, I'm going to give 20% and we do. We give 20% for most meals. But every once in a while, when something is just like really negligent, it's like, okay. And you know what we do? We drop it down to 15. You know, whoopity-doo.
Not I'm like we're more giving likely a to give 25 than I am 15.
Really?
Yeah.
See, down here, the problem is this down here, because it's touristy, right, during spring break. And I told, this is supposed to be a great restaurant. The service was terrible. And I was in a good mood. And I'm like, look, because with tourists, they don't care. They're never going to see him again. So they don't care how crappy. And I said to the guy, I'm like, we are locals. We are locals. And we're going to tell people that the service here is terrible. Like, and they didn't even care. But if I own that business, I'd be ripping mad. You know?
You got to talk to the right people then. You got to talk to the owner. You got to talk to the people in charge. Let them know.
Because at this place, the tip is pretty much basically, how quick do you get me my wine? You get it good, you get 20%. You don't, we got a problem.
You just told us it wasn't
40 minutes.
That.
It took 40 minutes for him to come tell me that they didn't have the wine we ordered.
Guys, I got a lot of reaction rolling in on the Carbless Talking text line on this one. In a restaurant, leave me alone. I can flag you down if I need something. That from Dave in Aaron. Yeah, meanwhile, okay. Ben says, just went to a Mexican restaurant. The waitress never came back until the bill, never refilled our water or anything, so we aren't going back. Now, Ben doesn't say if they docked the tip at all because of said service. But there's two sides of the table, right? Like one table where they didn't get enough service. I got to be honest with you guys. There's a part of me that believes that being a good server is recognizing what the table's needs are. If they are, in fact, a table that doesn't want you popping by every few seconds to check on them, you need to read that from the jump, right? Get some sort of indication based on body language, based on, you know, maybe they're regulars and that's just kind of how they carry themselves. And conversely, you know, recognize a situation that is going to need more attention. To me, that is what elevates an average server to an exceptional server, is being able to identify the needs of each individual table.
He should just be background noise, right? Because we had a place Thursday and the guy was outstanding. Outstanding. You didn't even notice him, but you had everything you needed at the table. And it was wonderful. And I think, we probably bumped him over 20%.
Chef Ed says, great. Angie is 100% in the right. They should not be able to automatically add 20% on small tables.
Yeah. I think it was because it was such a touristy place, because it's at the end of St. Pete's Pier. So, live and learn.
That wouldn't bother you, Gabe, 20% for you and Z to go out to dinner?
Again, if I've already made the decision to go there, like, it is what it is. I'm probably giving the 20% regardless, so I'm not going to let that ruin an evening or bother me, no.
Ian says, can they actually require you to pay the extra tip? Isn't it a bonus above and beyond the normal food prices? It's a good question also.
Well, no, their prices are their prices. You know, like, then, okay, if you have to just categorize it differently.
Yeah, but
they can get that from you however they want.
But 20% at the bar? Because we just went to, it was a bar that was associated with the restaurant, and they charged 20%. Put it this way, it was two glasses of wine, three glasses of wine, Moscow Mule. You know what the bill was just for that? $84.
I was about to say probably close to $80.
20 a pop.
But you don't tip 20% if you're sitting at the bar, Joshy, do you?
Yeah, that'd be crazy. $16 for four drinks?
No, if I'm just at a bar, it's usually the bucket drink. Sometimes I'll throw a little extra. If I had a really good time, I will then probably go more towards the 20, but it depends. But typically I'm throwing a buck down with every drink I get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jared in Canton says, my wife's best friend has a tip system, and I got to be honest, it's pretty ingenious. Everyone starts at 20%. As the meal goes on, the tip rate moves up or down as the service does. Great service. It goes up from 20 and vice versa. And then the other thing, guys, that we have talked about before is when you're getting asked to tip at everything, right? We roll through the Dunkin' Donuts drive-thru, and it says, you know, do you want to add a tip? I now have a standard $1, $2, $3 tip on those things. Mm-hmm. Depending on how many things we got. We got two or more things, $2. We got three or more things, $3. We got one thing, $1. And then I don't have to think about it when I'm there, right? I just, you know, because the dollar, the $2, the $3 isn't going to kill me. And it also is going to move that process along where I'm going, what do you mean? You just grabbed a, whatever it was, you know, you just grabbed a burger off the rack or you just grabbed a thing. I got a tip on that. I just have gotten to the point where I'm like, here's the way I handle that. It makes it a lot easier. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Still a lot of stuff to get to this morning, and we're running out of time very quickly. But I want to tell you about my friends over at the We Sell Group. How convenient that their name is We Sell, and they actually sell. If you're looking for a home, you know it can be stressful, time-consuming, and expensive, but it really should be one of the most exciting chapters of your life. The We Sell Group at Keller Williams knows this, and listen, they take their passion and they put it into selling your home or finding you a home. We're looking for a lake house right now. We want to enjoy these Wisconsin summers even more, and I can tell you that they have been so helpful with the process every step of the way, asking what we need. Availability incredible. The We Sell Group selling process makes sure that the best and most competitive offers are made on your home. Get started on a stress-free journey today at wesell.kw.com. That's wesell.kw.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Hey, everyone who I let try borscht likes it. They don't love it, but it's kind of, it's a liver.
What an endorsement.
This is your pitch.
But hold on.
Hey, yeah, like, guys, good luck. I don't even have to talk anymore.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Don't you love it? Don't you love it? No, I ain't happy yet.
Score big savings at Woodman's. $5.99 Screamin' Sicilian pizzas. I'm starting to run low on the stock I have in my freezer of Screamin' Sicilians. And not going to lie, driving up here to Erin Hills for Media Day today, had to drive past that Woodman's, Menominee Falls. I might stop on my way back because this deal is too good to pass up. There is no limit either. Great time to stock up on your favorites and taste what all that screaming is about. Going on today, tomorrow at Woodman's, it's $5.99 Screaming Sicilian pizzas. The great crust, the great toppings, plenty of cheese. Stop by Woodman's, $5.99 Screaming Sicilian pizzas and taste what all the screaming is about.
You're so insane. Shut up and just enjoy this feeling.
We spent a little time earlier in the show talking about the Giannis Antetokounmpo Instagram post. What does it mean, double rainbow? Go ahead and weigh in on that on our Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter account. Do you think it means he's leaving? Do you think it means he's staying? Maybe you think it means nothing. Maybe you think he's just showing appreciation and it is no indication of what will happen with Giannis. But if you feel a certain way, go ahead and weigh in on that. Let us know. We were talking about the Brian Windhorst sound from this weekend as well, as people continue to try to hypothesize where Giannis Antetokounmpo will be next season. Here's what Brian Windhorst predicted as far as teams that will be in the conversation. Take a listen.
I want to point two teams out to you, the San Antonio Spurs and the Houston Rockets. Both of them are in the lottery. San Antonio, I know Houston's still playing. They might win tonight. They're in the lottery. They have Phoenix's pick, which is a whole nother problem. They have a whole bunch of pieces on their roster. What if they hop up into that top four? Look out there. The other one is the San Antonio Spurs. They have two picks in this lottery. Now, combined, they're only a 30% chance of getting to the top four. What if one of them does? What if both of them do? All of a sudden, you've got San Antonio with Victor Wembanyama, De'Aaron Fox, and potentially a game-changing draft pick with the Rookie of the Year, Stephon Castle, sitting there as well. So first, we're going to watch the lottery. That, and so is Giannis. After that, we're going to reevaluate. But we're going to see a lot of things present themselves for the Bucks and Giannis over this next month.
Gabe, again, this is sort of contingent on Giannis asking out.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If Giannis were to ask out, the Bucks would have to go through the process of fielding a suitor, fielding a trade partner. Do you like these suggestions by Windy?
Well, again, you want, and it depends upon what the players that those teams are going to be willing to give up. Because guess what? Stephon Castle, probably not going to be on the San Antonio Spurs if you want Giannis. You can't. It's not just going to be picks. It's going to have to be players and picks that some of these teams are going to have to give up, and that's the problem. Like, trying to figure out enough players that you can give up where, A, you can match Giannis's salary and then satisfy the Bucks' need for the picks. Because part of what you're going to need to put together a good package are not picks that are yours. Like for Houston, for San Antonio, and you heard Windy mention it there, that they've got, you know, one of the picks for the Suns this year. Because if I trade you Giannis, I think you're going to be pretty good because you have Giannis. You're going to be picking in the 20s. The Bucks don't have their own draft picks to be able to supplement those. So those picks aren't worth as much because it's not like, oh, I've got these two picks and maybe I can use them to move up. No, that's just not the way the Bucks are currently kind of, you know, constructed. So it is going to be hard, I think, for a lot of these teams to put together packages that are going to satisfy the Bucks' want for players back and still have enough picks that they're also still going to be sending the Bucks.
It just doesn't feel right now for some reason. If he wants out, just doesn't feel like they're going to get what they should get for him.
Then
would they rather
not
have players or draft picks?
Both.
Draft picks are
both.
Really? I mean, how is this draft?
After Cooper Flagg, it's fine.
Is it realistic for the Spurs to think that they would get Giannis and keep Victor Wembanyama?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes.
So yeah, that's not something that the Bucks would be interested in acquiring?
Well, the Bucks would be interested in acquiring Wemby.
Yeah,
the Spurs would not be interested in trading Wemby.
Mm-hmm. No.
Like they're going to keep Wemby, they're going to keep De'Aaron Fox, so then Stephon Castle, who's one of their young guys that they just recently got in a draft.
Rookie of the year. Let me ask you this though, Gabe. Is there? We've talked about how Giannis will sort of have to dictate this. He would have to go to them and say, "I've done all I can do. I appreciate everything you've done, but I need to move on. I need to go somewhere else where I have a better chance of winning." Would Giannis be able to dictate destination? Or is it going to be the Bucks, whatever the best package they can put together? How much influence do you think? So you don't think Giannis will have influence over his destination?
I doubt. Because again, now you're going to Giannis is forcing his way out, and now he is going to force his way to a different team. Like even Damian Lillard didn't have the power to force his way to the team that he eventually wanted to go to. If you remember that, like everybody thought he was going to go to Miami, and the Heat just tried to take advantage of it. Didn't put together a package that the Portland Trailblazers liked, and they went, fine, we're going to sit on this. Like, until somebody gives us a package that we actually feel is something that we want to deal with, then we'll trade him. And I think the Bucks would do the same thing, because you're foolish if you're the Bucks and you have a once-in-a-generation asset and you actually have to trade him if he doesn't go to the highest bidder. That's how you get made fun of, like Nico Harrison down in Dallas. Like, you just, they want no interest in that. They have no part in that. It's going to be to the highest
bidder. Yeah, because they did the secret negotiations instead of opening it up to everyone and seeing what other possible packages they could have gotten, which you have always argued is probably the way that it should have gone.
Yeah. Yeah, if you wanted to trade him, like, open it up to everybody. And now, because that would be the interesting thing. If both Luka and Giannis were available this offseason, whew, be a wild NBA offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Chew, do you think this is all still an overreaction? Because you said you think he's gone. So we have to start thinking about if that is the case, if he does go to management and say, got to move on, we got to start thinking of destinations for Giannis and what the Bucks would get in exchange.
Yeah, the more I think of it, I don't think it will happen yet. Because Giannis, he's got a fine line to walk, because if he lets it out there that he wants out and there aren't takers on what the Bucks want in return, he takes a ding, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's hard to keep quiet. He would definitely take a ding.
Oh, yeah, as soon as you involve other teams. As soon as you involve other teams. Even if everyone in the Milwaukee media and in the front office and stuff wanted to protect Giannis's reputation and keep it internal, the minute you got other teams involved, it's a crapshoot.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how news gets out. That's why every time Aaron Rodgers is like, my people don't talk to anybody, I've got a tight inner circle. It's like, sure, but you don't exist in a vacuum, pal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, how did people know that I was showing up in Pittsburgh? Well, you talked to Pittsburgh people to set it up, didn't you?
That picture of you in the Malibu was pretty damning evidence, I think. All right, we'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Wrap up the show right after this.
Well, the Brewers might have lost 2 or 3 to the Cubs, but I still believe in them, and I'm going to parlay them today to beat the Houston Astros. I've done a little Wanna Parlay app on my phone, and it's so much fun. You can compete against me and all the other Jen, Gabe, and Chewy listeners to see who can combine a few picks and build the best parlay. It's just $2 for a shot at taking home a huge cash prize. It's a blast and so simple to use. There are new basketball, hockey, baseball, and combat sports contests every single week. And the best part, it is only $2 to enter a parlay into a contest. Here's what you should do. Download the Wanna Parlay app, click around, and if you decide to upload money to play and get into the action, use promo code JGC for a 100% deposit match for up to $250. That's promo code JGC for a 100% deposit match. You must be 18 years older to play. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER today.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So overrated.
Come on, his head is a pumpkin.
Yeah, he's so right. Chewy's never been more right
Ed
about anything.
Sheeran.
Chewy was right. Yeah. Holy Chewy was right.
Yeah.
Imagine the helmet on that dome. It'd be the first 8.5 size.
It's just,
what the?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
We put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. Joshy, we're going to have to save that for another day. How did you interpret Giannis's IG post, a picture of him wearing the Win for Cream City shirt from Sunday night? 80% of people responding say a sign he is staying. 20% say it's a sign he is leaving. Wildy and Tausch is next. I'm sure they will discuss Giannis' future and so much more on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Happy Cinco de Mayo, everybody, except for Chewy.